Hello, and welcome to another Nine Circles audio thing. This week, I am joined by James Kent, but most of you know him by his stage name, Perturbator. Doing today, sir?
I'm pretty good. What about you?
I am doing absolutely wonderful, my friend. We are talking on the eve of your release, Lustful Sacraments, that comes out May 28th through Blood Music. How are you feeling on the eve of your new album coming out? How do you feel? Is the excitement reaching a fever pitch yet?
It's been like 3 years that I've been working on this album, so it's a weird feeling, you know. It's not like a nervous something. It's just, it feels like, you know, like finally it's there, you know.
Exactly.
I've waited for a long time for this moment to happen. Pretty excited. Yeah, pretty excited.
Like a proud mother and father awaiting a newborn child. This has been
exactly.
Oh, yeah. So this is the follow-up to the Uncanny Valley. And really interesting thing, we were talking before I hit the record button. You are my first guest, and probably one of the first guests here at Nine Circles, who is a synthwave artist, or a synth artist, which is so cool, because I have conducted hundreds of interviews over the years I've been doing this. The 10 plus years I've been interviewing artists, I've spoken to black metal bands, I've spoken to death bands, I've spoken to power metal bands from all different countries, all different walks of life. And it's so cool to talk to you with this electronic background, because I got so many things I want to pick your brain about.
All right, do it. But I mean, you know, I also come from a black metal
background,
an extreme metal background. So
exactly, so, yeah. And that's where I want to start with, James. Yeah. When did you decide to get into the world of music and land with black metal? Because people who hear you now, who might not know that, who come Friday might pick up Lustful Sacraments or see it pop up on Spotify or somewhere, when they hear you're in a black metal band, they'd be like, what? But there are some tones that do come through in your music today. When people hear you have a metal background, they'd be like, okay, that wouldn't, you know, be super surprising to them.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, the thing I love about black metal, and the thing I've always loved about it, is sort of like, it's a very atmospheric type of music, you know. It's very, it focuses a lot on atmospheres and stuff like this. So, and you know, synth music, the type of music that I do, you know, it's kind of has a soundtrack-ish vibe to it, and it has this sort of like atmosphere to it. It's less about the complicated structure. It's not like prog music or something. It's more like about, you know, setting a mood, you know.
Okay.
And that's why basically I that's how I started listening to black metal, and that's why I think I picked up synthesizers afterwards.
Okay. Yeah. Now you were born in 93. So this is right around the height of, I'm probably going to get some dates and stuff wrong, but this is right around the height of, like, you know, the Norwegian black metal scene was really exploding. Was it in your younger years? Were you going back and finding this early Norwegian black metal? Was it more of like the rise of, cause for me, what got me into black metal was like the early 2000s when Dimmu Borgir was releasing their symphonic stuff. That to me was like, wow, because prior to that, black metal for me never really did it for me.
Mm-hmm. I was definitely more into the Norwegian stuff.
Yes. Like
the Dark Throne.
Okay.
Gorgoroth.
Yes.
Big into that. Mayhem, obviously. Bortzum. You know, the classics.
Yes.
But it's like, it's not, obviously it's not something that I listen to like from birth.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We have a staff member here, Chris. One of his favorite band is Dark Throne. And even he would say, as a 6 or 7 year old, he's not sitting there being introduced to Dark Throne.
No, yeah, no, but it started like gradually, because I remember my very first metal album was Raining Blood from Slayer.
Okay,
and that I was pretty young at that age. I don't remember, like 10, 9, 10.
Do you remember how you first found that? Was it a friend? Was it a family member? Or were you just in a store?
Yeah, I totally remember. It was because my parents are a music critic.
Okay.
Music. Yeah. So they get like the people send them CDs all the time for them to review it, and Slayer CD was there, and I kind of like stole it from the package, and I just listened to it. Back then it was it was like a Walkman.
Okay.
It's very shitty Walkman, and I was just like listening to it, and reading the lyrics. And just basically, I felt like I was doing something wrong.
Exactly. It is almost like stealing your father's porno mags.
Yeah. So there's a bit of there's a weird vibe like that, right? So I got hooked. I think I got really hooked that day. And all the mentions of, you know, satanism and stuff like this in Slayer kind of led me towards, you know, what's even more satanic. Oh, well, you know, in Norway, apparently there's a bunch of guys, you
know, burning down churches and stuff.
Burning down churches and stuff. And I'm like, okay, I need to check that out. Yeah. At first it was more like the allure of it, like the theatrics around the drama surrounding it. That was like kind of fascinating for me. But then as I grew up, I quickly realized that I just really love the music too. I mean, those are like super revolutionary albums, you know.
Oh yeah,
the Mayhem ones and stuff like this.
Now, was, you said that was around age 10 or so. Had you picked up a guitar and started playing then, or was that what led you to start playing?
I had my first guitar at 11, and it was a piece of shit. It's a piece of plastic, basically.
Yeah, a piece of plastic. Yeah, like basically a little toy.
But it had strings and shit, so you know, I could at least try.
Well, you know, some would say the instruments that black metal artists played on or recorded on were toys and pieces of shit.
Well, you know, and then I just learned to play some
stuff.
I tried to learn to play Slayer and black metal too, and then I got a real guitar later on.
Were you around a group of friends who were also metalheads, or were you, I don't want to say outcast, I don't want to use that word, but were you kind of in your own circle or by yourself when it came to metal, to musical taste, or did you have a group that you could share music with and forth?
I had like two friends. One friend in particular who's currently my drummer.
Okay.
And still my best friend. I mean, we were like friends from childhood. basically, and we always share each other music, and we met each other in first grade or something, sharing metal albums with each other.
That is awesome. Yeah. That is cool. Okay, yeah. so then when we talk about this, when did the electronic aspect of it come into it? Did you get a keyboard at a young age? Did you get a first synth machine? Because what excited me about talking to you is that take the metal aspect out of it, take, the synth stuff out of it. I first discovered you. I am a huge, probably more so than a metalhead, but I would identify myself. Of course, I'm a father and blah, 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 blah. That's, yeah. I'm a father first, but I have a lifelong love and obsession with video games.
Yeah.
I discovered you from Hotline Miami.
Yeah. I figured
that.
Yeah.
Exactly. That. So let's start talking about you going down this synth path and this electronic path. So you talk about early you with Slayer and Rain and Blood. What started piquing your interest about this world? Or was black metal maybe for you after you had started playing it for a while and getting into, was that maybe boring to you? Or you thought, hey, I want to kind of leave my own mark on this and try something different?
It's not really. I mean, first of all, it was the thing is, I'm terrible at playing in bands. I mean, I used to be terrible. I had a problem with trying to, make compromises and stuff like this. I had a lot of.
Hey, you know what? Dave Mustaine ideas. Had the same problem, and that's why he started Megadeth.
Yeah, Megadeth. Yeah. It's a small band. Nobody heard of it.
Yeah, you may have heard of them.
Yeah. I just got a bit tired of playing in bands and having to, listen to, having all my ideas being not taken, not listened to, or, being just basically a sort of like a sort of mercenary guy. I'm just there to play. And at the time also, I was a big fan of movies. A lot of horror movies, a lot of John Carpenter movies, a lot of Dario Argento movies, and Lucio Fulci. A lot of, all these old movies and giallo movies that have a lot of synthesizers in their soundtracks. So this is basically what I lean towards too, because I was like, I still want to make music, but I'm going to feel fucking stupid if I do guitar just by myself. and so I decided, wow, maybe I should just pick up a synthesizer and make like a soundtrack for a movie that doesn't exist. And that's pretty much how it started.
And what time frame are we talking about here? Is this 2010, 2012, around that time?
2010, yeah, around 2010.
Okay.
Yeah, and then I started Perturbator. I know I registered the name in 2011.
Okay.
So in October 2011, I checked recently because it's soon going to be 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah, 10 years. And I was like 18 years old. It's like 17 to 18 years old.
And you know, you have, it is really cool. It's because maybe it's the rise more of video games. Maybe it is the rise of electronic music as a whole, because I am seeing here in the States, just like I've seen worldwide, I have seen electronic music festivals on grand scales, massive scales. It is immensely popular. It is not a world I listen to, but I know this in this realm, the synth, you have become almost, and this is talking with friends, almost a household name. So man, you made this transition out like a perfect freaking time.
Well, yeah, I guess so. I didn't plan it like
no,
that.
No, of course not. First, nobody could have planned it.
Yeah. But yeah, it's pretty nice.
So when you started with a in down this world, what was your first machine you started with? What was your first setup? Was it, did you start on like a little laptop? Was it a little MIDI machine? Yeah. Like what was, because like I have tried a couple of times, I've bought a little MIDI machine and I've hit buttons like like I was a little 3-year-old, like C is for a cow, boo, like I do these stupid things and I've fooled around with it. But what was your first machine you've messed with?
It's basically like you. I think I got like a, you know, like a, what they call a master keyboard, which is a keyboard that doesn't have sounds in it. You just plug it to your computer, and then it just, you know, you control the computer. Like, you know, the sounds come from the computer, basically. It's just to have a touchy feeling. I don't know what to say. And yeah, so like most of the synthesizers that I was using were software. It's like what they call VSTs, virtual synthesizers. Yeah. Inside the you know, I didn't have a lot of money back then, so I still don't have a lot of money now. but yeah, back then, you know, just out of school and shit like this, so you know, you try to make it, you know, as cheap as possible. So yeah, it all came from the computer, yeah, most of it. Mm-hmm.
So then you when you put out Terror 404, what, how, looking looking back at it, how do you think Terror 404 turned out to where you're at now? Are you able to listen to it and be like, okay, that's pretty good, or now does it disgust you to hear that that early stuff to where you're at now?
So it's funny you ask because I actually re-listened to it kind of recently.
Okay.
Because I had some picked to do something with it, but I just kind of like rediscovered it. And when I pressed play, I thought, oh my God, it's going to be awful. I'm going to hate it. And it turns out it's not as bad as I make it out to be in my head. Like, it has, of course, it's not like great or something, but it's fun to listen to it because it kind of reminds me of who I was back then. Like, what was my mindset? How, you know, how excited I was about all this shit. I mean, I'm still excited now, but you know, now it's more professional. It's more like, you know, there's a label, stuff like this. Back then, I was just, you know, fucking around with the computer.
Yeah, looking at the tracks. What, you remember the first track that you recorded and finished for the album out of the 12 tracks on it?
No, I don't remember the first one that made for. I think it was 2 or 4 or 4. The
okay.
title track.
Okay.
And I was yeah, I was just like, I was like making soundtracks to movies that were basically in my head. Mm-hmm. And I was like super, the album has a sort of like a gritty feel to it, which I rediscovered. Sounds like a very old, you know, VHS dirty movie that you would find in a back counter.
I love that.
Blockbuster.
Awesome. Yes.
Yeah. With a lot of gore and nudity, of course. And it's like, it's just, it has like a weird raw feeling to it, which obviously comes from the fact that I didn't really know how to, you know, mix and master and shit like this. So it sounds, the roughness of it sounds, sounds gritty, I would say, kind of filthy.
Okay, so to where you were at now, you know, with the new album releasing on Friday, what have you learned about yourself? Because now you have, you know, I Am the Night, Dangerous Days, Uncanny Valley. You know, you have all these releases now. What have you discovered about yourself, or what has been the takeaway from these years later? Because, you know, few artists can release one album or two albums, you know, let alone here we are speaking on the eve of, you know, what your sixth album about to drop.
Six. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So what have you learned about yourself? What is the biggest growth, I guess, from album one, from Terra 404 to where we're at now? What is somebody going to be hearing? Because I will give you a second to think about it. But when I was talking to our resident synth guy here and my good friend Dan Kaplan, he is who kind of started me down this path, because he's actually writing up a review for it, and I know it's going to be awesome because he does a great job. But he says that he's enjoyed it. He liked it. He says that you have handled a great transition away from traditional synth, dark synth, better than a lot of other folks out there, like Ghost, who's been kind of hit or miss. He says it feels like you're not grasping for straws with your sound. It sounds like you have more of a vision of what you want and where you want to take it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's nice. And yeah, it's basically, I mean, you know, you're right, I've made so many albums, because at one point you start to figure, like, you know, I hate to repeat myself. I don't like to make two times the same album.
You know, James, is that easy in this world and the music you play? Is it easy to repeat yourself if you're not careful?
I would say yes. I mean, there's a weird pattern that I see a lot of electronic musician do. It's like they make a track, and it's like their breakthrough track, right? It's like their best track, and it gives them a lot of views, a lot of listens, and so they, a lot of them, I'll just go like, okay, well, this track, it worked, so I can just redo a similar one, like the same all the time, and it's just gonna work all the time. And it's just, I don't like this mentality, and I don't think it works for myself and probably for my fans. You know, I like to explore stuff. I like to try different stuff. And basically all my albums, I had to change it up a bit, because if it's always the same, then it's like, I think I've already said everything I wanted to say in exploitation cinema, trash culture, movies, stuff like this. I already said all of that. And then now I want to explore maybe, you know, goth music, stuff like this, more new wave stuff, more industrial stuff. So yeah, it's kind of important to switch it up, because it's important for myself and for everybody else, I think so.
You know, I have seen with, like, you know, like the rise of, you know, we mentioned Hotline Miami, and the indie video game market has absolutely, you know, with the rise of Steam and digital platforms, has absolutely exploded. You and I could go on any digital video game platform any day. It is like the Google Play or the Apple Store. There is just a shitload of games dumped on there every day. There is so much. There is so much indie music being developed. There is so much music, and there's so much music like yours out there, I think, muddying the water, that there's something special about what you're having to do that to really stand out.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really listen to it. That's the thing too. Okay. But I get what you mean. I love video games just as much as the next guy, and I hear a lot of, like, music that sounds kind of like, you know, synth based, very dark or whatever, and it's, you know, it's okay. It's not, I don't think I invented that anyways.
I understand if you're humble and stuff, but this dark synth movement that has taken up these past couple, like, I remember this, like, when Dangerous Days came out, I'm not going to lie to you and say I really knew who you were, but But you know, again, I'm not here to inflate your ego or anything. But when Dangerous Days, I was seeing that everywhere.
So you were
obviously doing something right then.
Looks like it. Yeah, looks like it. And it's hard for me to like have to see it though.
Of course, because this is about you. You know, you're not. It's kind of hard to see. You know, when you're the one we're talking about, it's kind of hard to see. But yeah, but from like the outside looking in, yeah, it's cool. So when you started, you know, to sit down and you know, you've told me you've been working on Lustful for a while.
Yeah.
How do you get in the mind space that you are going to do something good? Is playing electronic music, is it hard to come up with fresh ideas, or does the realm of electronic music and pretty much the world of limitless sounds allows you to keep it pretty fresh?
That's pretty much my take, the latter one, because I think that you can do anything you want in electronic music. There's bands, there's electronic music projects and artists and bands that I absolutely love that sound so alien, and they sound very unique. Only them sound like that. And you wouldn't even notice that it's an electronic artist unless I tell you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of, you know, you can do anything you want. So for me, it's not complicated. If I have to sit down and try to compose something or write some music, and it just won't come out. I just get such a lack of inspiration. I'm just not going to sit down, and I'm going to just turn off the computer and do something else. So instead.
So when you're listening, James, and you know, like we hang up and who knows what you're going to do, but like, you know, tomorrow, if you're sitting there listening, are you listening to like Carpenter Brut, or are you listening still to, you know, the Dark Thrones, or do you listen to this music when you're not playing it? Is this kind of where you've gone fully?
I don't listen to synthwave or
something. Really?
Yeah, not at all. Not anymore.
Wow. Okay. No. Which I think that's so cool, because you know what I think is so cool about that? That almost kind of has you, and I can tell you're being honest, but that almost kind of keeps your ear fresh. Yes.
Maybe. Yeah.
Because maybe it's me being naive, but it almost seems, is it? I could assume that maybe it would be easy to be influenced by so many other artists that kind of sound a little like you in some aspects.
Maybe it depends, because I'm, you know, the reason why I don't listen to it is because I think that lately it has gotten a bit stale. Like I haven't heard anything from, you know, synth music, synthwave, and even like electronic music in general. I'm trying to find music that touches me, or you know, like moves me there. But I still haven't found it. Like I don't find something that I like there.
Yeah.
So you know,
interesting.
It's not even like I would love to listen to it, to like it. But the fact is that I'm just always going back to, you know, black metal, extreme
that,
metal.
That is so cool. Because just like Dan said, he said that he feels like so many artists in this genre are grasping at straws. And he was saying, you know, you have more of like a dark wave field now, that there's there are kind of goth flavored elements. And the synths are a bit understated relative to the other instruments.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's more guitar oriented. Basically the album is a bit of a love letter to post punk and goth music, you know, stuff like Sisters of Mercy, old Killing Joke, Nighttime era. You know, all these bands, you know, Bauhaus, Clan of Xymox, Joy Division, obviously, The Cure.
Yes.
So yeah, it's also a style of music that I, a genre of music, sorry, that I always loved and that I wanted to, you know, sort of pay tribute to.
Okay. So again, I am talking to James Kent, perturbator on the eve of Lustful Sacraments out May 28th. James, I have to ask, you know, as my head's just spinning, I got so many things that I want to ask. Is there a part of you that ever wants to dive back into the black metal world and just release a black metal album?
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. I even started some stuff, to tell you the truth. The thing is, Perturbator takes a lot of time. Like, it takes a whole lot of time to, you know, prepare the live shows, prepare the releases, all the interviews and stuff like this, and you know, the shows, the tours, and I just never have time to fully sit down
It almost sounds like you need
focus
a
on something else.
pandemic to happen so you can have no time for shows or anything.
Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. Can we get COVID-20
Yeah,
soon?
exactly. Oh God.
Oh.
Which is I'm glad you just mentioned that, because I've always wondered this. You know, when you have a full band to lean on, I know, you know, your friend helping you with drums and stuff like that. But when you have a full band to lean on, for, you know, somebody's doing bass and somebody's doing guitar, and then, you know, just one, it's hard enough as it is when you get four or five artists together trying to do a song. If I say, hey James, let's sit down right now and let's make a Nine Circles track. This is us just talking. How Start to finish, from when you're happy and you can sign off that this is a good, how long does it take you to do a track where you're happy?
I would say it can take up to a month.
Wow.
Like, yeah,
Holy shit. Okay, wow.
it's I'm extremely I'm like a not in like my personal life, but in when it comes to my music, I'm I would say a control freak, I would say. I'm super very perfectionist on stuff, and some of the tracks on Lustful Sacraments, I just spent like, you know, I just finish them and then I go and I redo them again and then I redo them again, and it's like it almost never ends. And at some point, it has to end because obviously I need to make other tracks. But yeah, if I started a track right now, it would take a long time for me to finish it.
Like, you know, like the tracks here in the album, like my favorite, Dethroned Under a Funeral Haze. I love that.
Thank you. Glad you like it.
Tracks like these are taking you, it's cool to me that it takes that long, because, you know, I've seen artists do this kind of work, and I love how, you know, when you see it on the monitor and you see, you know, the sound waves, I could just picture you just going in there and, you know, second by second, you're like, nope, that didn't. And when you're doing this kind of music that has to flow, are you really looking at it and listening to it with like a fine tooth comb?
Absolutely,
Yeah.
I have to. If it's obviously if it's my albums, yeah. It's I'm super precise. I listen to it like, you know, on different speakers, different headphones. I listen to it in the car. Listen to it, you know, at one point it got even pretty annoying for people around me because I was always like listening to my fucking thing, and like, you know, I would go, I don't know, I would go like to a party, something like to a friend's. And my friend would be like, okay, can I listen to the album? And I'm like, okay, or there it is. And as we're listening to it, I'm like, oh fuck,
Oh, like there it is.
I need to change this. And I, you know, I pull up my phone and then I have a list of
Yeah.
things that I want to change. So I'm
Well,
like, oh,
okay. Well,
okay,
James, well,
that's
that's a funny
it.
thing. So when you're sitting there playing live shows, obviously it is done the track is out there. There's no going back. But yes. When you're playing a live show and you see some dude or some girl there who looks bored, who's like turned off for a second in the song, does that stick with you? And you're like, fuck, James, I told you you should have changed that part of the song.
No, because live shows are more, you know, I don't have this sort of...
You're not bound to a real... You know, it's a little more fluid.
Yeah, a live show is like, you know, it's a moment in time. It's okay, you know, it's an hour. a studio album, it's released and then it's forever, you know.
I'm not to speak for you, but you know, we mentioned your debut album. I guess there are still parts of songs, and you know, being the perfectionist you are, I'm sure there's still parts on, you know, I Am the Night or even new Model.
Oh, absolutely. That's still
probably bother you.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Especially the old ones, because like Tour 404, I Am the Night, you know, I was not as much of a perfectionist as I was back then. And so like when I listen to them now,
going down the road, is there a song of yours that no matter what, you just can't go back and listen to? You're like, I cannot believe I even fucking released that one.
I think there is some, yeah.
Yeah, you don't have, let's not muddy up the water here, but yes. We mentioned, you know, how I first described you, you know, with the video game stuff. How did you get into that world?
You mean the making soundtracks, or how did I?
Yeah, making soundtrack for video games. How did that happen?
It only happened, like, to be honest, it only happened once. Really, it's like the Hotline Miami thing.
Yeah.
It was basically the guys, the developers, contacted me on Facebook, if I remember. Basically, they wanted to contact me. They asked me about my artwork and who was making my artworks at the time. And I just threw in the idea of like, yeah, you know, if you're making a game, I can just make a track or two if you want. And they were like, oh, okay, cool. It was so casual, you know. I did not even expect to be paid or something. I just was like, hey, whatever. Let's make a track. And yeah, when the game got released, it was nuts. It was crazy. it got so popular. And I think nobody kind of anticipated that.
Oh my God, nobody. But you know what? But the cool thing is that out of all the game, you know, you talk about like your horror and, you know, this dark background years. If there is ever a fucking game for you to kind of fit into the world of.
Yeah,
you know, it's not you doing like a soundtrack for like the next Mario game or something. We are talking we are talking the fucking bloody gory Hotline Miami here. Like, what a perfect fit.
Yeah, I mean, it works really well, actually. Yeah, it is a perfect fit. Yeah,
and
that's true.
Have you found that that's how a lot of people first know of you from that now, or how are you finding people? Yeah. People are finding you.
Yeah, it's mostly from my Hotline Miami. Most people who have heard of my music, they've heard it from Hotline Miami, and then maybe they listened to Dangerous Days, but. Yeah, I think Hotline Miami was my
because like the night thing. the Night Driving Avenger, EP, yeah. that EP is so fucking huge. Like, I look at the Bandcamp on it, my God, the supporters go on and on and on and on and on.
Yeah, that's crazy. It's not even that good.
Which is, yeah, I love the honesty. This is awesome. But yes, like the supporters go on and on and on, and that these are how a lot of people are finding you.
Yeah. I mean, Bandcamp is such a good platform. Anyways, it's such a great. I don't know. There's no middleman. just like just between the artist and the consumer, I guess, the fan. And yeah, I mean, yeah, it's big. I kind of, you know, I got very overwhelmed by it. So when it started, because I was like, I have no idea where so many people get excited about this. But I mean, it's nice, obviously.
Yeah. Obviously. Yeah. So, you know, we were talking before I hit the record button. I have to circle back on it. You have done a short project with your fellow French countryman Alsace. You want to talk about how you came to meet these guys and maybe a little bit about the project you did with them?
Oh, well, we have friends in common, and we have music, like we have a common interest in music, and also we are different Paris. I mean, the singer Neige is from Paris, I'm from Paris. So, you know, from a friend to a friend, we met up eventually pretty easily. And yeah, we became pretty good friends, close friends. And then there's this show, yeah, that was a very special show called Major Arcana. It was made in Paris, and it's like they put bands together, like a collaboration of two bands. On stage for 30 minutes. So it was Perturbator and Alsace. And it was, like I said to you before we recorded, I have a bit of regrets about this show because we didn't have a lot of time to prepare, but it was still very, 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 very cool to play with my buddy, Neige.
Now you were talking about, you know, possibly starting to work on some black metal stuff. Would it be in the vein of what Neige and M are doing? Do you have your own vision of what you would like to do?
No, I don't think so. I think it would be much more
raw.
Much more, yeah, aggressive. Probably much more aggressive. I know that Neige doesn't really like you know, like aggressive black metal, like very evil sounding black metal, but this is the type of black metal that I really love. So I mean, it's gonna sound it's probably gonna sound old school, you know, some riffs from, you know, Emperor, some Doctrine riffs, some, you know, I'll try to figure something out,
but, you know, I personally am I have a hard time getting into the raw black metal, because to me, like when I hear your music or I hear other bands, like, you know, your fellow countrymen, Gojira just released a new album. Yeah. I mention them or I mention your stuff. I love music with a great recording quality. I love an album that sounds like it's recorded.
Yeah. Yeah,
in 2021. That's what has been so hard for me to get into Dark Throne and like raw black metal, like early Mayhem and stuff, because it is just so hard for me. And I have great electrostatic speakers. It is just so hard, James, for me to listen to something that sounds like it was recorded on my daughter's Hello Kitty microphone.
It is a pet peeve of a lot of people, I imagine. Yeah, to me, it's you know, I really don't care about quality of recording, because I assume that a lot of it is also part of the sound. You know,
it totally is. That's a great point you mentioned.
Yeah.
It is part of the. I hate to use this word because it's so cliche, but it's part of the nastiness. It is part of the evil of it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you can hear, like, you know, for me, when I hear, I don't know, the old Dark Throne and stuff like this, even like, you know, you can almost hear the kids, you know, playing and being fucking angry at the world. You know, it's just great. I love this like atmosphere.
And
if it was well recorded, if it sounded clean and stuff, I think it would lose a lot of its punch. Yeah.
You know, it is funny. Sometimes. Your parents, you know, you mentioned them as music critics. Have you ever played Dark Throne or something for them? I would love to hear what a real music critic's take on Dark Throne is.
My dad doesn't like it. My father hates it, and my mother is. I think she likes some of it. She likes Vatain, you know, stuff like okay. this. Yeah. So you know, she's not completely you know, close minded about yeah. that. But yeah, yeah. My dad always hated it.
Now, you know, Dark Throne yeah. has released so many albums. Do you personally have a favorite Dark Throne album? Because we did a whole episode on them when they released Old Star
Old Star,
a couple years ago.
The latest, right?
Yeah, the latest one. But do you have a favorite? Are you more like A Blaze in the Northern Sky?
My favorite. Yeah. That's absolutely my favorite. A Blaze in the Northern Sky. I prefer it even to Transylvanian Hunger,
yes,
which is what people consider to be the best.
Yeah,
but to me it's a Blaze in the Northern Sky. Yeah.
So could we ever see you donning corpse paint?
I good question. I don't know. Probably not. I don't think I need that.
James, yeah. a couple more questions. I'll let you get on your way. A big thing about the music you play is the live show. It's the yeah. it's the lights. It's the yeah. lasers. It's the smoke. It's you know, I've heard this. Yeah. You know, it's the sound waves hitting you in the chest. It's
yeah. Yeah, yeah.
It's, when you sit down to get ready to do a live show or a tour, are you controlling every dynamic of this from the lights and stuff like that, or do you have a team you work with?
I hire a team. I have a light engineer, which but you know, we work together. I brainstorm stuff, you know, ask him like, oh, can you have a giant pentagram, you know, and stuff like this. And but I let the light guy, which is a friend of mine, take care of that. I was very talented too. Same for the sound. I do have a sound guy that knows obviously all of my music and, you know, knows the set list, knows how to make it, you know, make the best out of it, the sounds, yeah.
So yeah. your live setup now, what I've always wondered, what is, because, you know, it's not like a normal drum kit. It's not like, you know, a guitar and a pedal board in front of you. Can you kind of educate me as to what is your, like, behind your command post? what is yeah. your setup in front of you? Is it just a couple keyboards? Is it a laptop with the keyboards? Like, what's your setup for a live show?
So there is a drummer, first of all.
Yes.
And the drummer has what we call like triggers on mm-hmm. his drum kit. So it triggers yes. electronic sounds, the same sounds that are used in the album, I guess. And then on my side, I do have like a laptop that plays a background track, because, you know, I need a little background there, and then I play on top of it with synthesizers. So I have like one for the bass synths, and then I have one for the leads, and that's basically it. It's kind of simple, actually. Once you think about it, but it's like, it's not kind of hard to put this, you know, how to say, this kind of music. It's hard to convey fully. You know, I would need, if I had to play everything and give up the background track, I would need like 10 musicians on stage with 10 different synthesizers. There's a lot of layers to it.
Yeah,
it's kind of stupid, and I don't have that kind of money.
So what brand are you using? Or do you use like a Korg? Like what is your your brand?
Dave Smith. I mean, I use my lead synthesizer is a Prophet 6, which is like a classic old vintage synthesizer from the 80s.
Wow. Okay.
And
is that something that if you were to drop or break, and let's say you weren't able to find a replacement, would it be hard for you to replicate that sound?
I mean, you can buy it, obviously, and I got this one from Dave Smith themselves, who sent it to me. It's not like a sponsorship, but long story short, I bought one a while ago and it got stolen.
Oh shit!
Yeah, in the middle of a tour. So that sucked. That sucked a lot. So
how did that happen? Were you like opening up the case, like, hey, let's set up and do this show, and you're like, oh shit, this case is gone.
Yeah, the van, like the window of the van got completely shattered and it took everything. So yeah, that sucked, and I had to continue the tour without almost without anything. And
no shit.
But I asked like fans if they had synthesizer and if they would lend me the synthesizer, their synthesizer for the show, and in each city, which they did. So this is the only way we could continue the show was because they lended me synthesizer and I played on the synthesizer, board from fans.
Yeah, really cool. That is man, assholes, but cool that you know you kind of use the fans to get it on your keep it going.
I mean, thanks to them.
I have to ask you, help me with this. What is the instrument? I'm always on YouTube watching different metal clips and music clips. I'm so jealous that I don't have a creative bone in my body. I'm like a caveman, discovering, hey, look at me. I can, like, the level of my art, I'm like a caveman fucking finger painting on the cave wall.
Yeah.
but who are the electronic artists I see who are taking different cables and plugging it in, and it looks like they have like 1,000 cables in front of them, and there's different lights flashing. What is that?
I mean, I don't know. It depends on the artists themselves. Sometimes it's like MIDI controllers. Sometimes it's
MIDI controllers. That's it.
Yeah,
that's
launch pads. You know, like stuff when you press a tiny button and then it launches a sample, something like this, and sometimes they use pedals, to fuck with the sound, It's like, I mean, everybody has a different setup. That's why it looks kind of alien to everybody. I mean, for me too. Sometimes I see guys setting up just with their shit on the table. I'm like, what the fuck is this? why do you need so many stuff, dude? But it's cool,
Did it take you a while before you landed on the synth and stuff that you use now, or once you found it, you're like, this is what I like.
It's the only one, honestly. It's the one that I wanted, the synth that I use, the Prophet 6. Yeah. It's the one that I wanted to get, and it's the one that I kind of stuck with because I just got really used to it, basically. I really like it.
Looking at it here, there are my god, it's like, to me, if I was to be in front of that, it's like I couldn't even play fucking Hot Cross Buns on that. That's not even fucking god, that looks
I'm not a very good synth player, though. I mean, I'm like because I learned to play the guitar. That this is guitar is more of my instrument, honestly. Synth. I kind of had to, learn on the spot a bit, and I'm still not very good. I can play my own stuff basically, but that's, I'm not very good at making big solos or shit like this.
You know, James, that's an interesting thing you put that you just said that I have to ask. If you say you're not really good at this, and mm-hmm. guitar is what you're really good at, and that's what you started with,
yeah.
Why? And I know you said that you know you're not really good, possibly with working with others and feedback and stuff like that, like you were mentioning earlier. Why did you just not decide then to try and do like a one man black metal project and just try and take off on that? Like why did you really choose to go into this world then?
I don't know. Back then I didn't even like consider this an option.
Like a hobby, yeah, right?
Yeah. It was just like, you know, whatever. Yeah. Let me try to play some synthesizer stuff. And that's all. I didn't really like, you know. I was a bit tired of playing the guitar. To be honest.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I got you. So you are going here. Yeah, I'm on your website here. First off, my God, perturbator.com. What a slick fucking website this is. Holy yeah. shit.
It's brand new, yeah.
Dude, this shirt with like this bondage girl on it or something with your logo. Oh man, this is a fucking sick dude. I have to buy some of this stuff. This is sick and fucking twisted.
Thank you.
Holy shit. So this site, first off, again, this is a badass site. Everybody, yeah, when you're done listening to this, go check out your site. But here you have an extensive tour coming up in October. Yep. Yeah, you know, I hope the pandemic is controlled by then. Of course, I think it's not going to go away. This is going to be, you know, the next couple of years here stateside. Yeah. The vaccine rollout has really been something here in the States, but I'm seeing you have a bunch of dates in, you know, your home country here. You have Spain, dude. You're going Switzerland, Germany, Sweden, Denmark. So
that's a big Europe tour.
So hopefully if the pandemic is controlled and vaccine, hopefully people will be able to see you later this year. That's the plan, right? I mean, you're selling tickets.
Absolutely. Yeah. I hope to. Yeah. Fingers crossed.
So people who come out to see you live, what can they expect? Evil, a fun fucking time.
Yeah. A fun fucking time. I think so. Yeah, a fun fucking time.
is your show? You know, I mentioned these big electronic festivals. Like here in Vegas, they have the EDC thing, the Electric Daisy Carnival.
Yeah. I heard about it.
And I see a bunch of dude bros in like neon stuff and fucking shirts off, drinking their seltzers and stuff like this. Do you see, you know, at your shows, do you see, you know, when it's not that crowd, it is more like the metalheads in their band shirts and black on black and stuff? Or do you see it more of like the techno electronic crowd coming to your shows?
It is mostly a metal crowd.
Awesome.
I would say, yeah, that's which is okay. I don't think my music doesn't attract a lot of electronic music fans for some reason. So,
why do you think that is?
I have no idea. I swear, I don't know. I tried to play on some festivals like this, you know, like not ETC exactly, but some electronic music festivals. It's just the audience is absolutely not responsive to a Perturbator at those festivals. So,
but you know what? I'm fine with that. You can be ours.
yeah. No problem.
Yeah. This star snapback that you have on your site, man, what a, you have some sick merchandise, man. Holy shit. You have some great stuff.
Thank you.
Well, James, I have taken up a little bit of your time here. It has been an honor to speak with you, James. It has been a pleasure I wish you the best with release here.
Thank you.
You know, to those people listening, you know, it is going to be available everywhere where music is sold.
Yeah.
Maybe let's go, you know, a little bit beyond and let's help them out. Maybe go on Bandcamp here so you can get a little extra more and help them out.
That'd be nice. Yeah. Thank you.
I know here at the website, my whole crew here at Nine Circles, they have done an excellent job that when Bandcamp does these Bandcamp Fridays where, you know, all the music goes to the artists, that people have really jumped on the train and really gone all out supporting artists. So
pretty nice. Pretty cool.
Well,
James, thank you. It was really fun, man.
It has been a blast talking to you. You know, the new album's out Friday, perturbator.com for all your tour dates, all your merch. You know, it's available everywhere. James, thank you for the time, buddy.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Thank you. Very nice.